I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us, folks, for the second hour. We've been having a great conversation with Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington of the Seawall Development Group that is responsible for redeveloping the Lexington Market, that historic market right there in downtown Baltimore. And tomorrow they're going to be hosting a town hall meeting on the redevelopment plans. It's going to be from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. There will be snacks and refreshments provided, along with free child care. Free child care. So you might even want to be able to pick up some dinner while you're down at the market and go to this meeting. Here's what I was just sharing offline, folks. That because there's a lot of money attached to it, Pickett mentioned that this is a $30 million project that the city is planning to invest in. And because there is a timeline. Now, this is a fluid situation because it's development. That's how it is. Some things come up as you go along in the process. But if there are two work groups for vendors and safety and an environment, and you have a concern about everything else from community space to, I mean, community programming to food quality, and you want to have some work group, that's going to be the platform that will be used to determine how things should go with that particular area through the work group. It's like a community association. You can come up and say all that you want to say to your council person or to the mayor. But if you are part of a community association, there is greater power in numbers. There's greater power in an institutional platform. Same thing with this work group. The institutional platform that's designed for this, if you want to get involved, if you have some real concerns about some things that we have been talking about or may have missed in this conversation, bring it up. And then possibly commit yourself to being a part of either part of the work group or leading the work group, but make sure that your voice is heard from beginning to end. That's how you get to know the process, folks. This is like community organizing, community participation 101 that I'm giving you, but it's very, very important. I want to go back to the phone lines very quickly because I know, Pickett, you got another community meeting that you got to get to, so we appreciate your time. Let's go to Thomas, then Henry. Thomas, thank you for your great patience, sir. What's your take?
Roger, how are you? How are you, man? Well, to that little Tenderoni Yasmin that called, she don't have to worry about security. University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins already got her covered in that. They're going to be the ones patrolling that area, Faraji. University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins police will be patrolling that area. Now, what I want to ask your guest, Faraji, how much input did Johns Hopkins and the University of Maryland put into these plans for that area?
Yep, good question, Thomas. Great question. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's answer that one, Pickett, and then a couple more that we had prior to the break.
Yep. I'll answer that by saying I think everyone has a stake in a successful Lexington market. Faraji, you said this is at the center and the heart of like downtown Baltimore. So not only are community members like right have the right and responsibility to develop a vision for that, but also those institutions that surround the market as well, they have to be a part of creating that vision also. Mm-hmm. We just heard from Yasmin, who's a UMB student. Right. That's a large population that's right there next to the market. You also have a large number of federal facilities and buildings that are close to the market and around the market, from like Veterans Affairs to nonprofits like Catholic Relief Services. So you have institutions that surround the market and have employees, students, and then you also have apartment buildings that have residents that are close to that area as well. So it's everybody's responsibility to give input to that vision. So as community members, they definitely have to kind of lead the way and point the way, but also institutions have a responsibility as well.
So, but has there been conversations that Seawall has had with Johns Hopkins and the University of Maryland, in particular to this, to the physical space of the market?
Yes, we're inviting all institutions to that conversation, and part of the way to have that conversation is through the town hall. Okay. So you'll see representatives. We've asked for representatives from those institutions to show up at the town hall and be part of that process as well.
Okay.
And we're also extending like the community survey to students, to residents, to all those folks, employees who work in the organizations around the market.
Yeah.
So all those have to be taken into consideration if you're going to create a true community vision that everyone buys into and supports.
Let's go back. I want to go back to Ock and to Donna's point that the two previous callers. Ock talked about how are you going to plan, and I don't know if this is in your realm.
Yep.
In terms of food quality, because there has been many reports saying that the food that has been sold there is not the best quality, is no longer fresh, it's been sitting out for days. Is that something that that Seawall Development has been talking about or with the health department? How does that go?
I will share with you that Seawall believes that access to fresh quality food is important. It's a right that individuals have. And we have to think about in the development of Lexington market, how do you create quality food and access to quality food?
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be a part of that. And when we talk about the vendor work group, it's about talking about what is the mix of food and cuisines and what's the kind of level of quality that you want within that space. But the community has to drive that as well. But that's a core tenet, is access to healthy, fresh, quality food. So Ock, you're right. You have to attend to that and pay attention to it. The second piece is about the environment and dealing with the epidemic of substance abuse and addiction, and rehab centers have to be part of that conversation. Just like you have to have a conversation with law enforcement, just like you have to have a conversation with security personnel and the different security districts that surround the market. But you also have to have a conversation with folks who own the different retail businesses around the market as well. And the only way you change that environment is if you enter into a conversation and figure out what collectively you can do together.
Yeah.
And rehab centers are part of that conversation. You have to talk to them. You have to engage with them.
Are they willing to come out at least to this first town hall, as far as you know?
They're definitely invited, and we would love to hear from representatives that represent the rehab center.
Yes. Everything.
Yes.
Let's go to Henry. Henry, thank you for your great patience. What's your take on it, sir?
Hey, thanks, Faraji.
You're welcome.
I just got a real quick comment. Number one, I commend them for giving the effort and the time, and they're going to spend money on Lexington Market. But my main concern, when I used to go down there at one time, you know, when I was younger, I didn't care, but as I've gotten old and wiser, the woman hit it right on the head. That's a major concern, especially with the methadone clinics and stuff around there. I mean, I'm used to seeing all the time some people walk up and through the aisles, nodding off, standing there, nodding off. And if you're spending that kind of money on a building like that, you're not just trying to go local. I can't believe that you're going to spend, you say, $30 million or something like that.
Yes, sir.
For a facility like that, and you're just planning on having it for local people. But I think it's good to have local, but you're hoping for gentrification, number one, or tourism, or bringing the people from the downtown businesses in there. And and the main problem is dealing with the methadone clinics, and they hang out on the corner. She hit it right on the head. If you get this still going on, it won't make a difference how much money you do.
Yeah.
You gotta take that $30 million, come out in the middle of the street in front of Lexington Market, throw it up in there, and hopefully I can catch some, because you're gonna have to spend some money.
Right.
And you want nobody to come.
There it is. Hey,
my comment.
Hey, thank you so much, Henry. I appreciate it. Look, Kara checked in and said, I've been coming to Lexington Market since 1975, and I find this to be a slap in the face that the city would allow that area to become out of control to the point where people don't want to patronize it. The city was well aware of the drug problems down there and had to know the kind of people it would draw. But now spending $30 million that will bring people of a different culture to Lexington Market, which now will make the city figure out what to do for security. It's about money, plain and simple. All right. Thank you, Kara. And Kara also asked the question, will there be a new implementation of rodent control? Pickett?
So you have to have a safe, clean market. And that's part of the transformation of Lexington Market is you have to think about the physical space and creating a physical space where it is clean, healthy, and it has quality food there.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a part of that. A couple other things I want to touch on quickly is Valerie on Facebook. Valerie, just show up. You don't have to RSVP. If you can, go online and RSVP, but you can also show up and sign up the night of. And the market will remain open during the entire process of the transformation. So it would never close.
All right. Let's go to Dean in Pikesville. Dean, what's your take?
This is a Gene. How you doing?
Oh, Gene. Hey, Gene. What's going on, buddy?
That's okay, man. I was Ebonicizing today.
Oh, my goodness, Gene.
My tongue was a little thick. But anyway, thank you for Raji and for bringing this gentleman on and looking at the Lexington Market in its true light. I've been saying for the last week that approximately the money that's generated just by using the transportation system and the people who are abused, the community of people who use and abuse drugs, who patronize the Lexington Market, they generate in the area something like $1,800,000 that goes to the merchants in the market and the merchants that surround the market, and that's the kind of money that the drug addicted community generates within the city, and they have to be respected because they are an essential part of the economic system in Baltimore system.
But here's the thing, though, Gene, and I don't think anybody is going to. I don't think anybody's going to fight you about the respect that's due to them, because at the end of the day, they're still human beings, regardless of the state that they're in, right?
Yes.
But I think now that, and many people may not say it, but there are some legitimate concerns that folks have,
and we should have
a regard as it relates to that community.
Right.
Especially when you're talking about, you know, businesses, when you're talking about bringing children into a space as multidimensional that Lexington Market is planned to be.
That's so, true for RJ. I'm not saying.
No, I know you're not, Gene. Oh, Gene, we lost you. Looks like we lost you, Gene. I'm sorry. Look, just give us a call back. We give you a minute to follow up with this. So, as you and I know you got to take your leave, Pickett, but as you can hear, there are a lot of concerns.
Yes,
a lot of concerns, and I think that people should be very, very honest about it. I mean, unfortunately, the market has become sort of forgotten in a lot of Baltimoreans' mind. If you live in the city for a long time, if you grew up in the city, you know, you can tell me the histories and the stories. My grandmother used to go to Lexington Market all the time. I remember going down there on Saturdays, getting her meats, the whole nine, getting all her fresh fruits and vegetables and things. I haven't been down there. Now, so because of all of these challenges. So I want to see, and I'm just saying it from little Faraji Muhammad, just want to see a market that is truly going to be about the community, that's going to reflect the emerging black business community that we have here, that is going to be safe for women and children to be. I want to see a market that's clean. If you got six other markets in the area, Lexington Market should be, and I think you talked about it in your quotes in the Baltimore Sun, Pickett, that that you're trying to make sure that the integrity and preserving the authenticity of the market stays intact as this transformation happens. That's what I want to see. I want to see Lexington Market win. I want to see Lexington Market thrive. And so that's where I think a lot of people are. I think that it has broken our hearts as a city to see one of our most beloved places go into the space that it is in right now. And that there's a certain sense of neglect and negligence coming from city folks to the community folks. We just haven't learned how to take the best care of what's ours. Let's get one more caller, and then we got to let Pickett Slater Harrington go because he has to go to a community meeting because this is a project, folks. This is a real project. All right, Mark, you near Lexington Market. Talk to us.
Hi, yes. My name is Mark Thomas. I work right in the agency, one of the state agencies, Department of Human Services.
Gotcha.
Been down there for 25 years, seeing a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What my concern is being down there is, what about the surroundings of it? If you dump all this money in the market, what happens to the surroundings?
Yeah. Well,
as we know of, there were police raids and all those good things in that area. What happens to those buildings that are abandoned, those buildings that are lesser quality, that don't have the prestige of a 100-year-old Lexington Market?
230-year-old, Mark. No, you're talking about the physical buildings, like directly across the street and all of that, right? Is that what you're speaking of, Mark?
That's what I'm speaking of.
Okay.
I seen a rat run from around the corner all the way to Lexington Market.
No doubt. Hey, Mark, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. I'm going to let that be your final question, as I know you have to go, Pickett. But any thoughts or any insight you can give on that?
Yes, and Mark, when we say safety and environment, we do mean that in the broad sense. You not only have to kind of create this sense of kind of space and of safety and that folks can enjoy and be comfortable taking advantage of what Lexington Market has to offer, but you have to think about the physical buildings that surround Lexington Market and their use, and it should be highest kind of best use, and thinking about how they help complement the market and how they complement other retail. So you have to think about those businesses. And the last thing I want to say for Raji is that one of the main goals of Transform Lexington Market is to make sure a new generation of Baltimoreans falls in love with Lexington Market again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for 9 generations, and I think you're right. It's kind of within the fabric of Baltimore, and it does pain people to see it in a state that it's in now, because folks know it has greatness. It has greatness there. So we want to really work towards making sure Baltimoreans fall in love with Lexington Market again.
Absolutely. Well, Terry shared a thought on our Facebook page, Pickett. She says, redoing Lexington Market is a fabulous idea, but can it be after the city has invested in opening the rec center for the kids or creating jobs for the 2,000 kids that didn't get picked up for the youth jobs program? Or how about doing right for the residents of Pohome and surrounding neighborhoods that don't have clean running water? It seems the leaders of the city are so interested in building up the city for tourists and investors, but not building up and investing in the citizens. Who in their right mind would make this city their vacation destination when it's in the shape that it's in?
Faraji, I think you have to do all of that at the same time. You can't pick and choose what to do, because that stuff is important. And the question that I would love to ask the community is, like, how do we do that? How do we redevelop Lexington Market at the same time provide kids with jobs or recreation activities as we think about Lexington Market? How do you incorporate that? How do you connect that? Like, I think that's the question that stands before us. We have this great opportunity as a city, and how do we use that opportunity? It's no coincidence that Pohome's is a few blocks away from Lexington Market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about access to food, and some folks don't have access to water. Like, all those issues are connected. So, like we said, target universalism. If you solve this issue of equity and access for the folks who are the most marginalized, then maybe we can solve it for all of us. And I think that's the promise that Lexington Market holds for Baltimore. So thank you, Faraji.
Hey, thank you so much. Again, folks, the first town hall meeting on Lexington Market redevelopment to be held on tomorrow, June 26th, from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. You can just show up. You can show up, or if you have access to and the ability to go online, you can check out lexingtonmarket.com/transform, and you can RSVP. There will be refreshments on hand and free childcare available, and you can be a part of the conversation. I foresee, Pickett, that you're going to have a very robust conversation. Going to have many folks coming out, and I hope that that we will send one of our team members out to be a part of this to see how things work out and to determine the next step, because this is the first of many public meetings that Seawell Development is planning to have with the community.
Yep, once every quarter. So this is a first step in a conversation that's going to be ongoing, and I would love to come back again and continue the conversation.
We would love to have you. Pickett Slater Harrington, thank you so much for being on For the Culture tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come right back, we're going to shift gears and talk to Nigerian musician Fun Show to talk to us about his artistry, his work, and how you can check him out live. So stay riding with us. It's all happening on For the Culture here on WEAA. For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in for the final 30 of tonight's fantastic show. We're going to switch gears because, you know, we are celebrating Black Music Month here at WEAA. And for the rest of this week, folks, we're going to have various artists from different parts of Maryland to come on to talk about Black music, to talk about their artistry, because we want to show you that as we celebrate the greats and the lates and all of the wonderful people that we have come to know and love, from anywhere from Jill Scott to Beyonce to anybody. I mean, the BET Awards just happened this past Sunday. There was a lot of celebration of life and culture. But and even more so, I'm going to make sure, my producer Alex and my team, we're making sure that For the Culture is a platform, is a space for emerging artists. Artists that are doing big things, artists that you may have never heard about, artists that are needed in our culture to help to bring a different message. And so tonight we're going to be talking to one such artist. He comes from Nigeria, but his family came over, and then he has been in the Lanham area here in Maryland. And so we're so happy to have him on. He is a Nigerian singer, songwriter, musician, recording artist. And Rolling Stone magazine has called him Silky Smooth. Is that what they call him? So we're happy to have on the line Mr. Fun Show. Mr. Fun Show, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, brother. And also joining us live in studio is a young lady who is certainly no stranger to the airwaves of WEAA and For the Culture. She's a publicist. She's an all-around renaissance woman.
Hello.
Raro Lay is in the building.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, let's go to a Fun Show very quickly. Fun Show, thank you so much for being on. And I'm really am serious about the fact that we want to create a platform and a space for an artist like you, because you have taken your history, your heritage, and all of that, your culture, as being coming from the great motherland, and have infused it in the music that you have have been performing. Talk to us a little bit about taking that and how did that go in making that transition. Talk to us a little bit about that if you can.
For me, it felt really natural. It felt like it was the inevitable path for me because, you know, after being on such a huge platform on The Voice and,
yes,
you know, telling my story in that big way and in such a visible way, you know, it becomes sort of, I mean, it's always been my identity, but now it's like my identity to the world. You know what I mean? And so I have to, like, speak to those people who connected with me in that way on such a big platform. And so I think it's important for me to have my music reflect that real life part of myself. So it just happened naturally on this project, and I kind of just create, you know, in an organic way.
And yeah. And that's, you know what, and let's talk about that. It's the fact that you were on 2018 on NBC's The Voice. You received 3 chair turns from star coaches Adam Levine, Kelly Clarkson, and Jennifer Hudson. Your TV cover of Finesse by Bruno Mars, 2.5 million YouTube views. Earned It by The Weeknd has 1 million views. Adam Levine said, quote, "You literally have it all, and it's amazing to hear a vocalist that's so complete. You chose Adam Levine as your coach, and then all of a sudden you were stolen by Blake Shelton." So you had actually these great musicians fighting over your talent. How did that feel, Fusho?
It was really cool, honestly, because
it was just cool.
Because I definitely could consider Adam Levine as somebody I look up to as a musician. Like,
yeah.
I grew up playing his songs on guitar, you know, like singing his music and like listening to his you know, songs about Jane, you know. And so I'm a fan of Adam Levine. So having him even recognizing my talent is great. And, you know, also being on such a big platform and having another person who I respect, who, you know, I've watched on The Voice, and I'm a fan of country music sometimes, you know, so I definitely recognize the talent and the art that he's able to create. So I respect him as well. And, you know, so having them fight over here is really cool, and it was definitely humbling.
All right, so, Robro, let's talk about the fact that you're going to be working with Fusho for some upcoming performances and everything. But how did you two get connected?
So we actually got connected. I think Fusho and I met about 3 years ago, and he was actually...
This is pre-Voice.
Yes, pre-Voice. We had met because I was interviewing another very talented artist on his video shoot, and Fusho was there, a part of the video shoot as well, performing. So it was actually super, super dope. But then recently I was invited to a few events by Heidi, who's pretty well known in the Baltimore area for doing different entertainment events. And she'd invited me out to one of her events, and Fusho was the headlining singer there, and he performed. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this guy's super, super talented. So that's kind of how we, like, crossed paths again.
So he really did live up to his name of being silky smooth.
Very silky smooth. Yep.
So, Waro, you've been around talent. You've been around your media professional. You've been doing this. When you hear a person like Fusho come into the space,
mm-hmm.
Getting that platform from The Voice, and then being able to still keep that platform, some level of humility. How rare is that, or how does that resonate with you?
I think first and foremost, it's super rare because I've met artists of every different caliber and everything. And Fusho, for someone who has such a large platform,
yeah,
and his level of humbleness, and like, even for example, I don't know if he wants me to say this, but like, even him just. People come up to him all the time. They're like, "Is that Fusho?" And he'll be like, "Oh my God, somebody said, is that Fusho?" And I was like, "Shouldn't you expect this by now?" But he just genuinely gets so excited. And it's just like such a refreshing feel to see somebody who has such a large platform, but that really appreciates everyone who recognizes his talent.
All right, so Fusho, for those who may not be familiar with you and they might want to YouTube you, how old are you?
I'm 29. I'll be 30 soon, though.
29, 30. You be 30 when?
In July.
In July. When's your birthday?
July 17th.
July 17th. You got my team looking real excited. I don't know why. I don't know why they're putting up M's and all types of hand signals for July, but at this point, I don't know why. You're all cancers. That's what it is?
Yep.
That's what it is. So you're a very emotional guy, Fusho?
You know, I don't know if I subscribe.
You sound like my producer right now. That's exactly how he would answer the question. But you said you don't know, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I have emotions. So
yeah. You have emotions. I hear that. So let's talk about the fact that you are in this space. You do have this platform because your music, how would you describe your music as an artist? Because I think a lot of artists have a view, and then somebody else will say, no, you sound more like this. How would you describe your music?
I would say it sounds like a mix of R&B and like hip-hop and Afrobeat.
Wait a minute, brother.
I know it's a crazy combination, but it's like, those are all my influences coming up. And then, like I said before, my culture definitely has to find a place in my music. And so that's kind of where that whole sort of combination happens.
Wait a minute. R&B, hip-hop, and Afrobeat.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine the sound of it.
It's lit.
And it's pieces of everything in different songs. So you're thinking one song with all three of those sounds. And that may be the case in certain songs, but like, it's just like different songs for different vibes.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Instead of people putting on their thinking caps and trying to figure out what you sound like, we want to play a couple of your clips. Can we play one of the millions of clips that you have out there?
I'm chilling with my day ones. We've been hustling, trying to break from these basements. I've been dealing with my impatience. This thing got me feeling so many sensations. For wisdom, that's what we pray. Everybody got opinions these days. Listen close to what we say, cause we got the game on lock like a briefcase. With a million or a plane ticket to a place where no one hates and they just stay lifted. Tell them don't get the game twisted. I'm just trying to spit the truth, I hope that they listen. Oh yeah. Realize everybody got opinions. Real life, I'm just trying to put my city on. I'm getting mine, never asking them to give me some. In due time, we'll be bathed in millions. And millions, yeah, yeah. Millions, 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 millions. In due time, we'll be living right, riding in a spaceship like a sci-fi. The wind is cold, but we don't stay inside. Out here trying to get paid for the way I ride, the way I ride. Confessing on a song just to make you vibe. Still driving around my city in the same ride. Used to hit the whole G for the fried rice. Now we getting flown out to the west side. What a life. That's right, I'm still chillin' with my day ones. My father told me don't forget where you came from. Yeah, I'm about to fly back out to Lagos. It's been 22 years and now they pay us. But what a way to come home, it's amazing. All is well but I'm still praying. Somebody asked me, did you hear about what they say? No. I realize everybody got opinions. Real life, I'm just trying to put my city on. I'm getting mine, never asking them to give me some. In due time, we'll be bathed in millions. In millions. Yeah, yeah. Millions, millions. And millions, millions. I deserve it. I deserve it. Cause I need it. Cause I want it. Everybody. Give me some, in due time we'll be bathed in it.
ladies and gentlemen, that was Foon Show with Millions right there. Foon Show, can we give Foon Show a warm round of applause for that joint? Hey, Foon Show, I'm not letting you around no ladies that I know, bro. You too damn smooth, brother.
Thank you.
You too silky smooth. But you got another style. I want people, because that's your R&B side, right?
Right.
I want us to play something that really speaks to that artistry that you described, which is that hip hop Afrobeat side of you. Let's play with it. Let's check this one out.
All right, let's do it.
Fight for something, you might as well fight for love. Your old man made you cry for nothing. You might as well try my love. Don't got no time for stunting, cause I know life is tough. Now Johnny won't be me, see, sipping my NSC. Girl, you fine, you dead sexy. Offer your bad guys, offer your CC. But at the end of the night, you gon' roll with me. Fly over to somewhere breezy. I just wanna make you need me. Bad girl, you should roll with me. Maybe we can drive somewhere. Maybe we can fly somewhere. Take a yacht, we can ride somewhere. Long as I'm with you, I love it. Money fell from where? I go anywhere. I do anything just to keep you smiling. Cause you know you fine and you dey sexy. Oh, fetch your bad girls, oh, fetch your CC. But at the end of the night, you gon' roll with me. If you roll with me, we can take it easy. Fly over to somewhere breezy. I just wanna make you need me. Bad girl, you should roll with me. Maybe we can drive somewhere. Maybe we can fly somewhere. Take a yacht, we can ride somewhere. Long as I'm with you, I love it. Money fell from where? I go anywhere. I do anything just to keep you smiling. Cause you know you fine and you dey sexy. Oh, fetch your bad girls, oh, fetch your CC. But at the end of the night, you gon' roll with me. If you roll with me, we can take it easy. Fly over to somewhere breezy. I just wanna make you need me. Bad girl, you should roll with me.
Another great hit coming from Foon Show. Foon Show, let's roll with me. I like that joint, man.
Thank you so much.
Hey, man, this is dope. So, Raw, I'm sure that as you guys are working together, you know this guy is going to be a real problem.
I'm anticipating it. I already know who he is going to be, but he's going to be everywhere. But that's a good thing. Like, we
he's
want his music
a good
everywhere.
Problem to have.
Yeah,
he's going to be a good problem to have. A Foon Show, as we celebrate Black Music Month here at WEAA, share with us who are some of the artists that have inspired you, have inspired your sound and your artistry.
Some of the artists that have inspired my sound, I would definitely have to say Prince. For sure, Michael Jackson, you know, just to, you know, give homage to some of the, you know, older greats. And, like, more recently, like, artists like Usher. Those are kind of artists that really kind of inspired me early on and even now.
I'm so happy that you said Prince, the late great, one of the greatest artists of all times, Prince. We got to say Michael Jackson. Big shout out to Michael Jackson, who passed away was today, actually. Was it yesterday? No, it was today. I remember that day, brother. I remember
yeah,
when Michael. I remember when Michael Jackson passed because I shed a few tears.
Yeah,
I shed a few tears.
That was a crazy day.
Yeah, it was a tough time for all of us.
It was definitely a tough time, but and it sounds like, and you said Usher as well.
Yeah, for sure.
What about Chris Brown?
Chris Brown, definitely.
I mean, okay. You know what I mean? You can't have certain conversations without including Chris Brown. So if we're looking at these type of artists, talk to us about your singing, because as much as you sing in English, how different is the singing in Yoruba than English?
It's, it's writing Yoruba is actually fairly new to me. You know, so just having like transfer my same way of writing and the same way I tell stories, like mm-hmm. through music, and do it in Yoruba, is definitely something I'm growing into.
Yeah.
And I think I'll continue to get better at it, but I think I found a sweet spot and where I want my sound to be right now.
So, what was the purpose for you to change your lyrics to that language? Is it to attract and to appeal to those from your native country?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. And also to just have a fuller picture of who I am as a person, like in my identity, in my brand.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I dabble in music myself, Fonshu. I dabble in music. I'm not saying that I'm like on your level right there. But one of the things that one of my close friends and my producer have often talked about is that the Afro beat, the sound of the Afro beat is really the sound of the globe. He's talked about, because he's traveled to Cuba, he's traveled to Africa, he's traveled to many other places where our people are, and he's saying that is the global sound. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely, and especially because now Afrobeat is becoming more mainstream, you know, and like more and more people who aren't African are listening to Afrobeat. And so like Afrobeat is being influenced by the other sounds that come from all kinds of places in the world, you know, because Afrobeat artists are traveling to all kinds of places.
That's what's up, you know, right? So, there. That is definitely what's up.
The sound is definitely merging with mainstream music.
Absolutely, absolutely. Raro, as we hear this, because we know that there's going to be an opportunity to check out Fonshu and everything. So talk to us about, you know, just briefly, that opportunity.
So there actually is an opportunity to hear him live.
Yeah.
So there's actually an opportunity to hear him live. It's going to be on Friday at Songbird DC. I'm super excited about it because this is his actual first time headlining his full own show back in the DMV since he's been on NBC The Voice. So I'm so excited. There's also going to be a lot of like other cool artists that are going to be on the lineup as well. I think there's like Magna Carta, Eddie Vans, Core the Artist. Those
Zakai,
are all
who was also on The Voice with me actually this past season.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, so y'all have really cool. There's a common bond. Are y'all like really excited about working with each other?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the key to succeeding after doing those kind of shows and having that kind of exposure is utilizing the network that you get, you know, through that process.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm just taking them, you know, obviously making real friendships and real bonds with people, but also like making sure to work with each other and create together because, you know, that's how we're going to win together. And then we all eat, you know.
That's how you're going to eat. All right. We got a couple of more moments before we end tonight's conversation. I want you to give the folks some feedback about who you are. We've hearing about your artistry. We know that you got what it takes. You're the complete artist. I would agree with Mr. Adam Levine on that. But what is your favorite place to eat?
My favorite place to eat? I really like Peruvian spots. Like
Peruvian spots?
Yeah, they're really, like, you know, with the flame-broiled chicken.
Oh, nice. See, I'm vegan, but
I was vegan for a little while.
You were vegan for a little while?
Like 8 months.
Oh, you were in for 8 months?
Yeah.
What brought you? What took you back to the dark side, brother?
Peruvian chicken.
You said Peruvian chicken took you back.
That's what did it.
That's what did it. That's the culprit. All right, I got you. In terms of your next project, when can we expect it?
You know, I'm always creating music.
Yeah.
And I'm just putting myself in a space right now where I'm just constantly creating, and I don't have a date right now in mind, but all I know is I'm creating, and there's definitely going to be a project on the way soon. But definitely listen to Numbers, which dropped on May 3rd, like a month ago, and it's doing numbers. So definitely go listen to that.
All right. They could just come and listen to you on Friday.
Or they could just come on Friday. Even better.
And are you an independent artist?
I'm an independent artist.
You are an independent artist. So there's a whole nother space that you have to kind of navigate yourself through.
Right. Yeah, you kind of got to be the one-man band.
One-man band. There's a lot of work being an artist.
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously, I have a team that supports me.
Yeah.
You know, and there's very talented people around me doing work all the time on my behalf. So, you know, Heidi Klotzman is someone who definitely helps out a lot with, she's my agent.
Heidi. Oh! Yeah.
She's my agent. And,
go ahead, Heidi.
So she definitely does a lot of work, you know, getting me around the DMV area.
Gotcha.
And having the national platform has allowed me to go to places like Los Angeles and Vegas in September. So, like, and even Nigeria in December. So, you know.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. All right, we got a couple of moments left, Funsho, and we want to make sure that we put your music out there as well as how people can stay up to date about all the moves that you're making. First and foremost, which you'll give us all the details about how people can keep up with you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm on Instagram, Funsho Music. That's F-U-N-S-H-O Music. That's actually my handle on pretty much every platform. So just F-U-N-S-H-O Music. And check me out everywhere.
Check you out everywhere. All right, we're going to wrap up tonight with the song This Ting.
Let's do it.
Can you talk us to a little bit about this? What was the mood in the space you were in when you made this song?
Yeah, this was actually the first, my first real attempt at writing an Afro-influenced record. So Sheffy actually gave me this beat as a producer from Texas, and he sent it to me actually to write for another artist. So this was before like I was embracing my brand as an artist, you know. So I was just creating an Afrobeat record. So this is my first real attempt at doing that, and it's called This Ting. That's how it came out. I think it came out pretty good.
That's what I'm talking about. I like it. Well, folks, before we close out tonight, I want to thank all of my special guests. I want to thank Funsho. I want to thank Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington for coming in. Again, folks, tomorrow there is that special town hall meeting about the redevelopment of Lexington Market from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. right there at the market. Refreshments and, of course, free childcare will be available. I want to thank my dynamic team. I want to thank Ms. Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc. I want to thank all the folks, my assistant producer, Amrita. I want to thank my man Dre Day and Sean Don. You just got a new name, Sean Don. That's you right there, sir. Sean Don, thank you so much for making me sound so good. Stay tuned. Up next is In the Groove with my big sister, LaDawn Black, giving you that cool jazz and R&B and neo-soul, so stick around for that. And, of course, as always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I'm Faraji Muhammad, looking forward to talking to you again tomorrow as we talk about how the city does not have an ethics department. Can you believe that? Yes, you can. We'll have that conversation tomorrow. We're going to close it out with Funsho. He's going to give it to us. Check it out. This Ting, this you only heard here on For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Videos, but you still don't pay me no attention. Listening to what your girlfriends mention. Yeah, come close, let me tell you something. I don't see a future with another woman. Girl, don't I give you good loving? We ain't getting younger, let's do something. Plus my mama want a grandbaby. Give me a pretty little hand, baby. I like it when you do that dance, baby. Want you to be part of my plans, baby. Joanna, hesitating. It's your love that I'm craving, yeah. No more waiting, I'm saying, yeah. Baby, I want this thing for life. No go waste time, I'ma be mine. Symbolize what I feel like, and it's for life, girl. Baby, I want this thing for life.